Ghostly Talk! Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on August 31st, 2008.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more information, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Ooh, tonight, we talk about some interesting phenomena that filmmaker Alex Monte Conowati has captured. This is really interesting. Captured while filming his latest film, Return to Babylon.
Interesting.
It's going to be interesting. Later, Tim Wood from Live Sci-Fi TV joins us. And finally, tonight, we are pleased to have our friend Rick Hayes back on the show. What are you doing here?
I'm not supposed to be here.
You're not?
No.
You're not.
I am not supposed to be here. but I am. Can you even believe it?
No, well, I guess we'll get into the why you're here.
Yes. I'm not supposed to be here this week. You're not here next week.
No, I'm not. No. I mean, so, no, I'll be on the show.
You'll be on the show.
It's not physically here. And we have a guest host that's not here yet. We're waiting for him to show up. So, yeah.
This is
starting out in fine Ghostly Talk fashion.
This has been the weirdest,
day.
Several days.
Well,
for
you
me,
especially,
it's,
yeah.
It's been quite an interesting.
It's been weird for me, but I think it's been near surreal for you.
pretty much.
Well, what's the story? Much. Why are you here?
Okay. I don't know. Did we talk about what I was going to do this weekend?
Well, we talked about
on the show. Did we tell everybody where I was going, what
well,
I was doing?
You know, we have lives. You know, we don't need to tell everything here.
I
think we mentioned that you were leaving. You weren't going to be here. You were going to be out of town.
Right, but I don't remember if I told everybody I was going to New Orleans, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. You know, haunted New Orleans, one of the three most haunted spots in in North America is going to be, you know, Gettysburg, Savannah, Georgia, and New Orleans, Louisiana. And I've always wanted to go there. My roommate says, look, I've got, you know, a week off that week, for, you know, the Labor Day, just before Labor Day, and, you know, let's go to New Orleans. I've always wanted to go. End of year party. Woo! Right?
Yeah, there you go.
And it is big party city. Anyway, so we flew down there on Thursday, and yes, we knew that there was a Hurricane Gustav. Wanted to go to the parties, too, but he was just a little tropical storm at the time, you know, going to build. They were all, like, worried about it, but it wasn't going to be till Tuesday or Wednesday. We were going to fly out on Monday, Labor Day. So we were going to leave there on Labor Day. Well, we were there Thursday, where we promptly slept for 12 hours. Amidst all the music and partying. I mean, it's a party city. It really is. End of year party celebration. Big, big, big party. And was it not yesterday?
The brain cells, your brain cells are still compiling.
It all just goes together, you know. But the day before yesterday, we had woken up very, very well refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
Went out, you know, did some shopping. I bought one thing, right? I finally found, you know, my favorite drink, DP.
Okay.
Finally found some that wasn't outdated.
You'd think they'd have like.
It's well, you know how on Cape Cod, Yeah. Everything was that red and white product.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well...
And then the DD also. We noticed a lot of DDs there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but there's no, you know, DP.
Uh-huh.
And I want DP. That's what I want. That's my favorite drink on the planet.
Uh-huh.
Well, same thing with down south. Evidently, it's all run by that, you know, red and white company. And so, but I did find a store, a convenience store, for my DP, and I,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
So I carried that back to the hotel. Got to drink 1 2-liter bottle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to. A party, a big party, until 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We come stumbling, literally stumbling into the hotel at between 6 and 6:30 in the morning yesterday. Between 6 and 6:30 in the morning yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, good morning. You know what? We're closing at noon. So you have to be out by noon.
Wow.
And we're like, okay, we're completely, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 sheets to the wind in Party City, USA, you know, and we are being kicked out. So, yeah, we rearranged our flight. We got a few hours, like 3 or 4 hours of sleep,
mm-hmm,
threw
mm-hmm.
our stuff in a bag, and did the hour and a half trek to the hotel. It's only 13, it's like between 12 and 13 miles to the airport, I mean, from the hotel. Hour and a half to get there in, mm-hmm. in the traffic, mm-hmm. and then we ended up flying out like 3 hours later. We had 3 hour wait for our flight.
Yeah,
and we flew out. We got back about 8-9 p.m. our time.
Wow. Well, you called me like
and
about.
And that's when we ate, because there was no food. Everybody had evacuated. Like everyone's gone out of New Orleans.
Well, I know you called me about an hour and a half ago.
Well, I was making my calls. A lot of people were interested in just what was going on, because a lot of people knew I was in New Orleans, and yeah. my phone's been ringing off the hook, and I'm like, well, I've got to call Bonnie, uh-huh. I've got to call Scott, I've got to call various other people, my parents, they didn't even, I mean, I called them when I landed at the airport, and I'm like, yes, I'm safe, I'll call you when I have time, and that was earlier today.
Mm-hmm. Amber and I actually took off and went to Michigan's Adventure yesterday, which is an amusement park. I decided, so I've been wanting.
Oh, do we have one?
Well, we have one, yeah. Well, it's not, we're going to mention big names.
Did you get kicked out?
No, Cedar Point actually bought this park last year.
Oh, wow.
Because they have the third largest wooden roller coaster in the world there, called the Shivering Timbers. And, I have to say,
arr, shiver me timbers.
Yeah, well, that's what your stomach does after you're done, because I rewrote it 3 times. They have a new one called the Thunderhawk.
Okay.
Also, which is one of the dangling ones where you dangle your feet out of it, which was just splendid also. And I mean this because I really had a great time, but they just wrecked me. They just beat the crap out of me. Well, we were talking about when we got back from the park yesterday, we had dinner with Tom, and we were watching, you know, we were like at a bar pizzeria place, so we were watching the news, and we were just like, yeah, emptying out as we speak, empty, empty, empty. I'm like, my God. And that was the first call I blew into you. I called your phone, went straight to voicemail.
It was.
And I'm like, holy crap, he's dead. Oh, my God. The guy is buried under like 60 gazillion gallons of water right now, or something
Tom,
like that.
Tom, rent a car, we're going. We're going to go bury him out. We need a shovel and a car.
Yeah, we were like, this is like, how crappy is that, right? So we, but I gave you another call today when I was heading back here, and, you know, I got your voicemail. I'm like, well, boy, I hope the guy's all right, you know, and then you finally called about 4:30-ish our time here.
Yeah, you went to voicemail. I was actually sleeping at that point. The entire 4 days has been essentially a blur.
Yeah,
You know, a couple of them were, you know, self-induced blur, but then the other part has been an evacuation blur,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And first of all, New Orleans is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, really?
Completely, absolutely, extremely expensive, but
how many cans did you see?
Actually, I gave away beads.
Oh,
you give away beads.
You gave away beads, all right.
Yes. We were in a bar, and a nice, you know, accommodating young lady.
Came by, let her see what's up.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And so she got beads. And,
wow.
Yeah, I gave away beads. It was interesting.
You know, one of our former companies we used to work for used to have a, I remember a few, this was years ago, they had a Mardi Gras day at the office here in Michigan. And I remember walking in, of course, I didn't pay any attention to anything around there except
get in, get out, get paid,
and that's it, right? And, but I come in there and, they were having Mardi Gras day at our big, wonderful company. And all the women are walking around with beads on. And I'm, thinking to myself, do you have any clue what that means?
Right.
Look at me, I got beads. I have beads, Scott. Are my beads? And I'm like, I couldn't tell you. I don't know what they look like. But these people had no idea. I asked somebody, I'm like, dude, are you so, socially detached that you don't really know what the bead thing's all about, and in Mardi Gras in Louisiana, what that stuff's all about? We're just having fun, Scott. Yeah, it is truly a cult, but anyway. But it's I found that hilarious.
When you're in New Orleans, if you get beads, you have to earn your beads.
Okay, you have to earn them. There you go.
You have to earn them, and I earned my beads, but I got one strand. I didn't flash one.
You tried. That's what counts. Right? Well, did you? I'm just curious. You know, you're our on site,
evacuee
meteorologist here.
I am actually an evacuee. Yeah.
Did you see? I mean, was it insane? Was there any insanity going on there? Was there any looting or death or anything cool?
Although I have to say, when we were kicked out of the hotel, we slept for a few hours, and then it was the funniest thing because Larry was laying in his bed, and I'm laying in my bed, and we're like, oh, we have to get out. And it turns out he reaches up. This was the funniest thing ever. He reaches up, and he wiggles. You know how they have a painting, nailed to the wall above each bed? You know, it's just a standard hotel painting. They order them from hotelpaintings.com or something. I don't know. Anyway, so they're all the same painting. It's just, different... different color schemes. So he wiggles it. He shakes it, on the wall to make sure it was nailed to the wall. And sure enough, it was nailed to the wall. And I looked at him, and I'm like, do you like the painting? It's just a standard hotel painting. And he goes, well, I thought we might want to start looting early. And I thought, I kind of like this lamp. So we're talking about walking down the street looking for a taxi with a painting and a lamp, and being stopped by the cops.
Stop pretending I'm sitting here listening to you, Doug. Just hang on, all right? Keith has actually showed up already.
Keith, hey!
And the funniest part is I couldn't yell at him because he comes walking up the stairs with a plate with a thing full of cookies. I'll tell you. Thank you.
Keith
brought us refreshments and cookies. So I can't yell now because he's brought food.
I never bring food. We're going to have to start doing that. Oh! I want this one. Yes. Oh, this is my favorite.
Pardon us listening to the audience while we warm up here and just get ready for the show and stuff like that.
I was just telling him, Keith, I know you were coming in and stuff, and so you didn't hear this. I am an evacuee.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Okay.
From the hurricane.
We'll fill you in, Keith. Well, I called Keith, Keith changed his phone number, so I had a problem getting a hold of him this week, right?
Oh my God, Scott, Keith's calling. I need to change my phone number.
Yeah. Well, no, I got
I have to bring your mic in.
Yeah, bring Keith in here. So I finally got a hold of Keith on Thursday to have him do the show. I think is the mic on, Keith?
Slide the... You are in the stream.
So I finally got a hold of Keith on Thursday. I called James from MFPS, and these guys were actually rehearsing with Simonic Drive, right? That's a whole long story, a very long story. But I managed to get a hold of Keith through James, and I'm like, hey, dude, look, Doug's going to be out of town for the show. Would you want to come and co-host the show with me this weekend? And, of course, you're like, yeah, no problem at all. Sounds good.
I was going to be out of town because
He wasn't going to be here.
In New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Which right now,
right?
If you've passed by any TV in the country, you must know that Hurricane Gustav is he's on his way in.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm actually looking at go ahead, Keith.
When it comes to hurricanes, who decides what they're called?
I don't know, but this one's pretty stupid.
They make the list.
Gustav?
Oh, well, okay. Now, I don't know if this is drunk guy at bar or what, but this guy decided to tell everybody. You know, I guess maybe it's like a icebreaker or something. He comes up and he's like, ah, you know about Gustav? And we're like, yeah, yeah, it's hurricane, it's coming. And he goes, no, 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 no. He was an Irish king, or maybe Scottish king, I don't remember, Irish or Scottish king, Irish or Scottish king, well, he didn't, he said one or the other, and his wife's name was Katrina. So, king and, you know, king and queen, I guess, Gustav and Katrina, and Gustav, you know, and so, of course, everyone's like, ooh, now go away, you're creepy. But no,
exactly.
It
I would have been like, who are you? Who let you out?
Yeah.
But no, it was, first of all, New Orleans is big party city, so it was pretty much party, 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 evacuate. And literally.
That's a hell of a hangover, too.
Literally.
I mean, well, you can literally just breathe that air and you'll, you know.
Pretty much.
Yeah, no kidding.
You won't be able to blow clean on a breathalyzer.
Doug's here now. So I'm like,
evacuated, yeah.
So it was like really late to like go, Keith, don't come. But you're here, so that's cool. We'll have fun anyways. It'll be all good. So yeah, Doug survived it though. But there wasn't really any like pillaging and looting going on.
No, seriously, the city was being boarded up.
A good time like pillaging and looting.
Well, no, it was just, you know, Larry wanted to start looting, you know, before we left, but
peanut butter
made him his oven. Made in Keith's oven here, man.
Little one. Actually, it would be my wonderful girlfriend Shannon's oven.
Shannon. Okay, thank you, Shannon, for the cookies. We appreciate it. My thing, I was just curious about that. Before the show here, I was watching the news and stuff, this time around, because all they're doing right now is referring back to Katrina, like how bad they screwed that thing up.
Right,
they messed it up nonstop. So what's going on is these people are really, the propaganda is out there now, like, oh, we are doing the greatest job ever to take care of this thing. There's nothing in this. They're showing these guys dragging these huge dollies of diapers down the road and stuff. to deliver them to the wanted masses who need diapers.
But there's nobody down there.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like, everybody was leaving. Seriously.
They finally get it right, and there's no one there to help.
When we finally got a cab, he opens up the back. It was like a minivan kind of cab.
Yeah, yeah.
And he opens up the back. And there's, like, literally...
It's like a rolling party.
Literally, like, 50 gallons of water in the back of his cab. It's, like, just water everywhere.
I Y2K ready.
And he, yeah,
what he sound like?
He's getting ready. And then he's on the phone on the way to the airport.
Yeah. Backlash.
Hour and a half.
It'll never go away.
The hour and a half of trip to the airport, the 13 miles of the airport, took an hour and a half. He's on the phone and he's like, oh, I can't come and get you. I'm going to be out of the city by then. I'm leaving. Bye. You know, so he's quitting, I guess.
Could have been worse. You could have caught a later flight and had to race the hurricane up.
Yeah, that would have been interesting trying to get out of there.
My brother had to do that.
Oh, my. For what? For Katrina?
This was like 12 years ago.
Okay.
Cayman Islands.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
no,
wow.
Any better there. Mm. Well, no, there. What the news also said, too, was, you know, this is the news, so really, what's it matter? But they said that there's a big military. There's, like some guy who was there, like, the on-staff reporters down there, like, sitting around waiting for something to happen. And he's like, yeah, I'm walking down the street right now.
If only something would fly by.
Yeah, like a car.
Right, right.
But no,
look for a really, really big guy or something, him throw a car past the...
Yeah.
Window.
Well, the guy.
We need to get some footage.
Don't this worry, is Cloverleaf, the real game, right
the
here.
The military's there to protect you. From
well, that's what they were saying is that the guy's like, you know, I'm walking down the street right now, and there's like 10 guys with like M16s, like, you know, from the military.
They really
have water wings.
Yeah.
Wow. Water wings and M16s. They
complete
really
with a visual, people out
they
there.
Are
the visual.
The emergency personnel are definitely there in force and in presence, and with some of them.
I'm sure that's going on. I'm sure that's. I'm sure they're there. I'm sure that that's accurate. That's the 5% that's accurate in the news. People that there's actually military people there. The other 95% is complete BS. They're physically there.
The
but
question
I mean,
is do they say that because it's true or to deter people?
Ooh,
don't know. That's interesting.
Well, I think they're there, which I think you know again. I don't condone, I'm joking around, obviously. I don't, you know, this happened when Katrina came through. There was a ton of looting. There was a ton of pillaging. The place, I mean, the city was destroyed.
Well, they hadn't,
what hadn't been leveled by the storm, you know.
They hadn't evacuated. So what happens is there was a lot of people there. Now there is really no people down there. It's pretty empty.
If it falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it,
But who took that painting off the wall of the Ramada? That's my question.
Well, here's the thing. You know, you guys remember we had the great blackout of 2003?
Oh, yeah. The multi-state, multi-day
Yeah,
blackout.
Was it 2000? I think it may have been. It was 2003 because that's when
I instantly looted.
Yes, it was.
I ran out and looted right away.
Well, no, it was scary.
I was like, I'm gonna start the bandwagon. Everyone else
I started right at Brown Baggot and went nuts in that place. Took every 90 they had. That's my whole. Yeah, I was at Big Lots going nuts, man. I'm like, hey, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it as economically as possible. I don't want to cost the consumer that much money by stealing all this stuff, right?
Right.
But it was scary because I remember that, you know, the lights were out and you know, driving down the street and there's like absolutely no power to anything. Yep. Looking around and I'm just kind of like, you know, wow. This is like a weird apocalyptic kind of thing.
It was very weird and apocalyptic.
I loved it.
Well, down there, the only difference is like they actually board up their premises. Like they buy boards and they nail them to the wall or to the side of the house.
It's like
the building
dead.
And it really it looks really creepy.
It is creepy. I mean, I was just gonna say that's like what we had here, you know, with the great blackout of 2003 times a million pretty much.
I think food service workers are scaredy cats.
Yeah.
Why?
And restaurant owners. Because almost the first thing to go or to be shut down and is the food. And I'm like, you know, what if I wanted a hamburger on my way evacuating? You know, but you can't. While you're evacuating is not the time to
get one plane ticket with fries, please.
Yeah, right.
You're like, I've seen War of the Worlds. Ain't going to happen here, buddy. Kung, 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 kung. I'm out of here.
They all left.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, bye.
But you were like right in the middle of this. That's what makes it such a trip. Yeah. I mean, I was worried. Like I was like getting ready to like call you for the show tonight on the phone because we were gonna have your phone in.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, yes, Scott, I'm right down here. Hey, what's Scott? Come on the beach.
See, I think you guys missed it though.
What's
you
that?
You could have called Scott and had him, Doug, and had him pretend he was there in the canoe.
Oh, that's true.
I'm calling from a canoe right now.
I could have been going 70 on the expressway with the wind, you know.
We could have gotten really dramatic with this and made like, we need to save Doug.
Splash water around.
Yeah, I could have. Oh, my gosh, I would have been
awesome. We need $1 million to save Doug from Louisiana. Please help us. Please.
But what happens is the city, I got to meet, of course I was, you know, I don't remember any of their names, but the, I got to meet a lot of people from the area and surrounding areas, and a lot of these people are going to be affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to go home.
No, in all actuality,
and maybe
sucks.
Not have homes. And
yeah, this really sucks.
And I have to say, all those people, they were so nice. And there really is such a thing as Southern hospitality. And I knew that from Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, going to the Southwest, I have it, yeah.
But then you go down there, and there really is Southern hospitality. And these folks are so genuine and so interesting and fun and friendly and accommodating. And they're just incredible people. And my heart goes out to them. Prayers go
this
up
totally
for them.
This totally sucks they're getting hit again
because
like this.
Because they may go back and not have
a home. Yeah.
And I wish them all the best of luck.
Yeah,
and all of my good thoughts and prayers and good wishes are going down.
Well,
I just
hope these people get out of there and they are all safe. I think, you know, that was the big thing they kept saying on the news, too, is like, we've learned from our mistakes. We've learned. Oh, now you're admitting you made a mistake. Okay, because, you know,
I know, because before it was.
3 years ago, it was already pointing fingers at each other, going, no, he screwed up.
From our mistakes when it comes to a hurricane tornado is almost a oxymoron.
It is completely, because how do you can't prepare for it. I mean, put up all the levees you want, all the sandbags you want. I mean, it's nature, and nature, we all know, is much more powerful than anything we can create.
Well, while it was hugely inconvenient for my vacation, it was the right thing to do.
Get out of there.
To kick us out. Yeah. And I'm glad they did it. And it seemed very well. It was very organized and very, you know, because they did it in steps. First, the food service workers left for some reason. And then they got rid of, like,
so the women and children first equivalent.
No, then the prisoners.
Burgers and fries.
Then they evacuated the jail.
They evacuated the prisoners first.
Yeah, and then they got rid of us. Then they got rid of the visitors. We were third.
Can I sound heartless for one second here? Because I don't really care. Can I sound heartless for 1 second here?
We've got 3 minutes before we're going to break, so it's probably not the best time, but go ahead.
No, I'll keep it brief.
I don't think the food service workers really left first.
What about the prisoners, though? You know the prisoners left first?
The prisoners were...
Because we got to protect them.
Right away.
Apparently bars and, like, cement blocks are not enough protection.
How about doctors? Did they go last? The teachers and the doctors, you stand behind.
Actually, I think if you look at the list, the politicians probably went first.
Yeah.
Well, then the prisoners.
And then the prisoners. And then the, yeah.
FEMA.
This is the reason why this show is slowly getting more negative and negative as the weeks go on.
37th in line where the visitors and...
The tourists, the people that dump the money into the city, oh, we're going to leave you here.
On top of it, all the hurricane stuff is interrupting my gossip for celebrities on CNN.
Tell me about it, man. I mean, what?
Who cares?
I do not know what
Lindsay Lohan is up to.
Thank you.
That really sucks. I, you know...
Well, as long as the prisoners get out, we get the prisoners out of there so they're safe and secure, no problem. I just want to make sure that all of the nation's prisoners are taken care of. I'm going to leave it at that.
Right.
I didn't say anything mean at all.
Care of Scott.
Oh, wait. We have one sitting here presently. He was in Louisiana. He is here now.
Where's your rap sheet?
Well, I can keep a beat, but I don't know if I can rap.
Oh, okay. Then we're done.
Well, Doug, I'm glad. We're glad that you're safe. It's been kind of a cluster bleep here trying to get this show rolling here, but I think we got the point across of what's going on. We got a couple things before we go to break here. Coming up, actually, we're going to be talking to Alex Montecanawati, who the pictures are up on the website. If you go to the ghostlytalk.com website, and if you want to do this too, Doug, feel free on the main machine.
No, I want to check my lottery tickets, actually.
Okay, go ahead. That's cool. We got plenty of power at that 3-gig processor now. So
yay!
Doug, if you win, rest assured you will hurt because tomorrow morning you're going to wake up with a headache.
Undoubtedly. I have a big knot on my head.
In the photo album, for photos, the photo section of the Ghostly Talk website, I've moved the album up to the top so we can get to it real easy. It's the focus photo section.
Oh,
What we have here, while we're talking to Alex, I have some stills from his film, Return to Babylon, that we're going to be talking about. It's going to be really interesting. That's what we're going to kind of focus on for this next half an hour. We're going to be looking at these photos and some of the weird things that happened with the film.
Interesting.
The stills that we have here. So that's kind of what we're going to focus on with filmmaker.
That's all right. I forgive you.
Are we ready to go to break, Doug? I'm stumbling my word. I'm stumbling that. I stumbled that too, you see. Doug, you're on the helm tonight. Doug will be running the board all night long. So good luck.
So
far, so good. No,
good luck
good.
To the show because I almost didn't push that button right there.
Well, take us out, Doug.
You guys, filmmaker Alex Montecanawati coming up on Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk!
Vision 3.0.
Thank you, good.
It's coming. The 7th annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention will be taking over in Louisville, Kentucky, September 26th through 28th. The Louisville Ghost Hunters Society has went all out this year to bring some of the most amazing speakers, vendors, and activities together under one roof at the Executive Inn in the heart of Louisville. For ticket prices, hotel accommodations, and any other info on the 7th annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention, visit LouisvilleGHS.com.
Beacons of Tomorrow presents Deconstructing Fireflies, a post-apocalyptic short story by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter shows Nathan Schoonover and Christy Peterson. Bees are real, birds are not. Deer heads rot on rooftops under the blazing sun. Chickens explode. And one stricken little boy searches in unlikely places for the souls of the mechanical animals his father creates. This unsettling tale is now available in the speculative fiction anthology Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. Buy your copy at TyrannosaurusPress.com, Amazon.com, Tower.com, and most online book retailers now. Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. It's a vision of the future so grotesque, you won't be able to look away.
Huh? Who's that? Whoa! What
on a stand? It's just sitting there.
I do believe in spooks.
We are the Panther City Ghost Group, and we've been in business for over 40 years, serving the metropolitan area and beyond. Hi, my name is Dan Shoemaker, and my father started this business in 1967, and I carry on that great tradition of great low prices. This week only, get a complete investigation plus a house blessing for only $299.99. And we'll help you quit smoking, drinking, or break any old bad habits with an exorcism for only $49.99.99. I'm a licensed deliverance minister and pastor of the New Hope United Church. Come out and see us sometime at Sunday service here, right here in exit 217 East Babylonian Avenue. And remember, we're ready to believe you for the right price. The Panther City Ghost Group, for all your paranormal needs. Call us toll free at 1-877-555-1375. That's 1-877-555-1375. Or visit us on the web at www.pandercityghosts.com.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Ani.
Quiet, Alex! Return to... Wow. Return to... Bring down the music. Hey, all right.
Slowly, like you instructed.
I hate not being in control.
We're having a lot of fun.
Return to Babylon is a feature film shot in Chaplin-esque silent... I hope I pronounced that right. Silent movie format. The film focuses on the Hollywood scandals and tragedies that rocked the nation in the teens and 1920s. We are going to be taking a look at the paranormal factors in the film, such as faces morphing into disturbing images, or hair forming around the face to make a Jesus-like image. There are no computer-created images within this film. With that, I'd like to welcome Alex Monty Kanawati. Is that how you pronounce that, Alex?
Kanawati, that's right. Kanawati.
We nailed it for
good
once.
Job.
Oh, my God.
Yay.
Wow. You may have another website. I was just referring to your MySpace page, myspace.com/returntobabylon, as far as a website to, for people to check this out at. For the listeners, I'm going to mention this again. On the Ghostly Talk website, there's the tabs at the top of the site. One of them says Photos. It's called Photos. If you go to that, it'll take you into our photo album, and the very first icon you'll see is Focus Photos, right? Click in there, and you'll see 8/31/2008, Return to Babylon, Photos, and that's what we're looking at right now.
So you go in that album, and there are five photos, stills from the movie, that we're going to be talking about with Alex. Alex, tell us about Return to Babylon in general.
Return to Babylon is a tribute to silent filmmaking. I was always intrigued by silent films. It's a bygone era of the silent movie days. It's a tragedy that art form had to be killed off in 1927 approximately. And it really is a fascinating subject. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that 80% of silent movies don't survive today because of the type of film that they were using at the time. A lot of them turned to dust. A lot of them got burned.
Mm-hmm.
We lost a lot of great masterpieces. So I'm doing a tribute to them, and so I did the subject matter about true life scandals of the silent movie stars, Fatty Arbuckle, Clara Bow, Rudy Valentino, Barbara Lamar. And these were all very sensational stories. I mean, it's amazing how a truth is stranger than fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to do these vignettes as a tribute to a number of the stars of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really kind of amazing how some of these tragedies came 6 months after the other. It was really kind of a heavy toll taken on the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And the film industry almost didn't survive because of it. They had to make some serious changes. The Hays Committee came in and basically formed what would be our rating system up until 1968,
mm-hmm.
the rules of film. How long a kiss could be, you know, going into the details of not having a married couple in the same bed. They have to be in separate beds.
Mm-hmm. 1 foot
it got really strict like that. So that's what Return to Babylon's about.
Well, and I want to note this also. I mean, like, God, one of my favorite films of all time will always be Nosferatu.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, what's amazing is I wanted to do tribute to Nosferatu, but because we were a low-budget film, that would require some heavy prosthetics and makeup, and it would be also time-consuming,
mm-hmm.
and we couldn't afford it. What's amazing is that it looks like we got the real Nosferatu himself.
Yeah,
I mean, some
no
of those
kidding.
Images, some of those images look like the vampire himself. Mm-hmm. We juxtaposed the real stills of Nosferatu with, in fact, it was the first anomaly we discovered in February of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And we put them face to face together, and it looks exactly the same. The claw-like hands with the pointy fingers and, you know, the bald head and the rodent-like face.
Well, yeah, and that's what really, when I first saw these pictures, you sent them over to me, and I was like, you know, wow, this is really crazy. And this has to be asked, Alex.
Yes, sir.
I asked you this via email, but I have to ask this question in all fairness to everybody. You know,
sure.
Couldn't this be a natural, like, if you're in film, couldn't this be a natural, just like a progression of film? If you freeze a frame in a movie, any type of film, couldn't this just be a natural type thing? See, I'm not a film scientist. I can't really put any good terms on it, right?
Moving, maybe it would show elongated nose or whatever if you freeze one frame. I don't know,
yeah.
Because I've seen, the only thing I have experience with the VHS, you know, if you're watching a tape and you freeze it, it all blurs and it looks like, it doesn't look like the film.
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes,
It looks like, you know, a couple of frames together and all mush.
I'm just wondering, you know, could this be a natural thing, though, Alex? Just out of curiosity.
You know, that's what I thought of at first. And the way that this came about, how it caught my attention, is I was with a cinematography teacher who teaches over here at an institute in Santa Barbara, California, called Brooks Institute of Photography.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of Brooks Institutes. But he was teaching at the one in Santa Monica, and he still teaches there. And he kept looking at the dailies of the film, meaning the film as it comes from the lab unedited.
Yeah.
And he kept asking me, did you do any special effects to the movie? It was him that made me aware of this process. And we started looking at the film frame by frame,
mm-hmm.
and we discovered the Nosferatu character. And I kept reiterating to him, could this be something that is very common in film? And he kept insisting emphatically no. And keep in mind that I went to USC Film School, and I studied extensive editing, getting a BA in film production there in 1991,
mm-hmm.
and I don't ever recall a class that brushed upon this topic.
Yeah.
Clearly, yes, when you pause a film on freeze frame, you're going to get, of course, double image or, you know, slightly, you're going to see things out of focus because somebody's moving their arm, for example, and they're waving their hand through the air.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to get some distortion of image.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at these images from Return to Babylon, the characters are actually morphing. If you consider dirt on the negative, for example, the dirt would smear the frame. It wouldn't be intact. The background of the actors remains constant. It's the actual, from frame to frame, the consistency of the fingers and the hands and the head and the canine teeth all became a repeated pattern.
Yeah.
And what I do in the film is, at the end of the film, I climax with hundreds of these images back to back in a montage sequence, which is extremely powerful.
Mm.
And we started noticing the women taking on these beards and these biblical imagery, like
We're looking at this one, right, the one photo, and we understand that you're not in front of a computer right now, so we're going to kind of like tell you where it is, and you'll know where it is off the, you know, right off the bat. But the one we're looking at right now is the one with this Nosferatu-like character in the garden. It looks like he's getting ready to, like, pimp slap somebody, kind of. That's his arms back, you know, like he's getting ready to, you know, throw a backhand at somebody.
Right, right. Now, there's two images of this Nosferatu character you have. There's one that's a closer one where you see the nose is pointy. Mm-hmm. Really pointy.
Yeah.
But you see, it's those characteristics. When you freeze a frame, you know, the anatomy of the physical body would remain the same. Noses are still going to be noses. They're not going to morph into a CGI-like concept.
Right.
Because if you look at these images, they're really unnerving a lot of people. I just left them a church where they saw the film, and the priest and the deacon were very moved by this.
Mm-hmm.
They were so alarmed by this. In fact, they're trying to introduce me to Scott Derrickson, the director of The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and because they have ties with him. And they're trying to get the film into his hands to get his assessment. See, I was reaching out to other filmmakers because I didn't know if this was just my film. Is this a new movement that's still undefined that's happening to other filmmakers? You know, this is something still new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reaching out to religious groups and photography groups and film groups, even some mental health professionals, because you've got to remember what was going on in my state of mind.
Yep.
I know what these actors look like. And there is no way, let me tell you guys, there is no way I would have been able to get near them if they looked anything like those pictures. I'd be too blind to direct them. I mean, what the hell do you feed that thing at lunch?
Well, bottom line here, I mean,
I want to look at the one with the...
Which one?
Because he was talking... The first one that we have... And
well, yeah, the very first one on the list here is... Yeah.
You know, with...
And that's the woman in the ballroom with all the other people, Alex. And it looks like she's shirtless, which makes the picture even better.
That, believe me, is Jennifer Tilly. Now, do you know who she is?
That name sounds so... Yeah, okay.
She was the star of Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky.
Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she was the very first, when we were filming in the estate of Norma Talmadge here in Silver Lake, California. Silver Lake was home to lots of silent movie stars, and this is a palace. Norma Talmadge was married to Irving Thalberg, one of the executives at, I believe, Columbia. And Jennifer Tilly, we were filming in this house, which supposedly was haunted, and there was a lot of weird sensations, and Jennifer insisted that the ghosts were touching her and that they were all over her.
Yeah.
And I was too busy with production. I kind of took it lightheartedly. I didn't know what to make of it, really.
Yeah.
But then when the film came back, that image is what you saw.
Hmm.
They were all over her. She completely morphed into a complete monstrosity.
Well, her face, yeah.
I mean, it looks
Jennifer Tilly's a beautiful woman. I know who she is.
She's a very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She does not look anything like that.
In this photo, she has no nose. Deep sunken
eyes.
It
looks like, I mean, it's very, very horrific looking. I mean, we're ghost hunters, okay? There's not too much stuff that really disturbs us anymore, Alex. But, I mean, this photo, when I first saw it, honestly, it looks like her eyes are sunk in. Her mouth is, mainly her eyes look like they're totally sunk in. Like, there's no eyes left there.
And
it scares
like,
the crap out of it.
And, like, the nose has completely disappeared. And
yeah,
just,
yeah.
Like, is now one long bridge of the nose.
I don't even know what this, you know, what you can, it looks
imagine,
like.
Imagine, as she brought up that exorcism of Emily Rose, how she would see people decaying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the first thing I saw the eyes.
Okay, all right. Well,
it looks like, I don't know if you guys know Dr. Albert Taylor. He's a paranormal researcher. He's written a few books,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
he's kind of big in the field, Dr. Albert Taylor. I met with him, and he told me that these frames, one by one, you've got to remember there's about 24 to 36 frames per second. Each frame looks like a 4 to 5 hour makeup job, a prosthetic job.
Oh, yeah,
that would be way too much for my makeup artist to do. It wouldn't make sense for us to photograph somebody for one frame.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it would just be too involved. And,
yeah.
And I mean, how exactly did the actors morph? That's, I'm trying to think of it on a celluloid level, on a frame level. I mean, this force, whatever we're dealing with, is that intact. It has the ability to manipulate the figure from one frame to another and keep it constant. I'm trying to understand in my head, did this happen upon exposure of the film on the set, or did this happen sometime in the lab?
Well, what I'm thinking, what I was thinking along, you know, because I'm trying to get some answers out of this also, well, trying to figure something out. Go ahead, Doctor.
When you film, do you film in HD, or do you film, is this like standard?
We filmed,
you know,
on film.
30
we filmed
frames?
On we filmed on motion picture film, Ilford, stock 7231 and 7222, which is daylight. Yeah.
And is that like standard? Is that like, well, what, 30 frames per second?
You were trying to preserve.
Well, because sometimes it was 24 frames per second. You've got to remember, if you're going fast motion or slow motion, it's going to be more,
right,
give or take. So I would estimate it would go between 18 to 36 frames per second.
So
a lot of people said maybe.
I was just going to say, regardless, you're talking about fractions of a second.
Yeah.
Exactly, fractions of a second.
It would be 1/24th or 1/30th or 1/18th, depending on, you know, what effect you're going for in the,
right,
with the action. It's a fraction of a second, boom, you capture this image. And are the frames on either side of it freaky?
Well, what you would see is they would morph. The character would morph. Like Jennifer Tilly, she, in that shot, she comes up closer to the camera, and her character runs towards camera left. You could see the morphing continue from one frame to another. It takes on a completely different look.
Wow.
That's why I sent you two of the Nosferatu,
uh-huh,
because you can compare that the noses get sharper.
Yeah.
The nose gets sharper from one to another. I mean, it's an amazing image. I mean, if you think about people sitting at Disney trying to come up with a character, the time and the money and the weeks involved to come up with a sellable character that goes down in history,
mm-hmm,
this just happens spontaneously.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was thinking of concerning these images, and we've taken, there's pictures all over the web, and people, yep, that have, who are, you know, studying, you know, who are, you know, spirit photography and out there ghost hunting, whatever you want to call it. There have been photos taken, not necessarily of ghosts themselves. I mean, that's what we're going for. But and Doug, you've seen these too, I think, where there have been these weird photos where we found where sometimes it may be double exposure. I don't know. And I'm not saying that's what this is either, Alex. But we've seen.
What do you think it is? What is it?
Damn if I know. I won't lie to you. This is really, really weird.
Well, I mean, it's obvious if, you know, if it's happening in camera or in the film level,
yeah,
you,
yeah,
know, I mean, obviously it's something that's able to do this. Where did you get the, speaking of equipment, where did you rent the equipment from, like a standard movie rental house? Because I know that's what,
yeah,
a lot of
we,
folks
there was
do
a place called Alan Gordon Enterprises that, mm-hmm, is here on Melrose in L.A. Because we shot, it was a low budget film, we would shoot when money would come in, it would trickle in here and there, and because of the actors donating their time, it was over a long period of time that we shot.
Right.
So each time we got a camera, it was a different camera. So that rules out the camera.
So it's not, yeah, because I was wondering, maybe you got a haunted camera or something from that. But it sounds like it was multiple cameras. So then what about, and of course the film you buy from the movie rental house.
Right, all the film was brand new film. All the film was factory sealed.
That's how you get it. When you have, then who's on the production crew? Is there any person involved who was at every single one of these shots?
Myself.
You? And there were no other people involved, or because I'm looking for is some.
You're looking for a common denominator.
Yeah,
a common denominator, perhaps, and maybe something. It, because to me it seems more. It just has the feeling of maybe a prankster or a not like a physical prankster. I mean, what I'm talking about is like a trickster ghost kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe has a something.
Could it
out
be the
ghost
of the silent movie people themselves? I mean, we did film in the estates of Rudy Valentino, Norma Talmadge, Antonio Moreno. All these places are supposedly haunted. Well, and the silent movie era has that kind of ghostly feel to it.
Well, yeah,
now,
it does. And I mean, a lot of these people, when you get into art and things like that, we talked about that so many times on the show here in the past, where, you know, artistic places, theaters, places where there has been a lot of film shot, let's say. These are all emotional hotbeds. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of emotion being put into something. So what you have with those places will be these, you know, what we call psychic sponges. They suck up the psychic energy.
Right.
And that could explain why some of this weird stuff happened. But, I mean,
what I'm looking for is a catalyst. Because I really get what I see going on here. Because I don't think if... I don't name a big movie producer. Steven Spielberg wanders into, you know, one of these places and does a similar scene. It just doesn't seem like he'd get this effect. So it seems to me it's more something that's attached either to you or to the project. I mean, maybe some poltergeist or something.
It would be interesting to see if this phenomenon continues into the next filming, because I haven't filmed anything since the discovery of these anomalies.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious about it. I've had a number of psychics and spiritualists and mediums tell me I'm a kind of a channeler for this, and I'm trying to get the bigger message. You know, after the show, you know, provide me with an address and I'll mail you a copy of the whole film.
Yeah.
Even though it's still a work in progress. We have a temporary score, but you'll get you'll see the end of the film, the montage. Did you see that, Scott? Did I send
you
that
sent
link?
That to me, and I did see it, yes.
What did you think of that?
It was amazing, because, I mean, how many frames was that exactly? And there was
those are all images out of it. We keep discovering new images all the time.
Because we only have five here we're looking at right now on the show. And this was just... I mean, it was so many of them, and like you just said, there you're finding more and more as you guys edit the film. So I mean, I don't understand why all this would happen. And I mean, for this just one film, we've talked about a couple of things that maybe could be a catalyst, like you mentioned, Doug, for this. But it's really really hard to put your finger on all these anomalous, you know, frames that have these really weird things. I mean, I'm looking right now again at the what we were referring to as the Nosferatu character and his nose. That's the one thing. It's like he told a lie. He totally told a lie.
Right.
His nose is really big for some reason. And he does have the claw-like fingers in the one picture also. And that is very... looks a lot like the character from the original silent film. Really strange. Really strange.
My question...
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Alex.
Yes, sir.
The middle picture of the Nosferatu character in like what looks like a garden or a forest.
Yeah, the one where he's pimp slapping.
Exactly. Is that like where you filmed that, and is there a particular scene that was going on there? Or
you know, I'll tell you, that day was the eve of 9/11. Maybe that has something to do with it. We shot on 9/10 of 2001.
Hmm.
So maybe this was a foreshadowing of demons of what was going to happen to the nation hours later. But that scene was filmed in Pasadena, California, not at a silent movie location. I'm sorry, what was the original question?
What was going on in the film at that exact moment?
Oh, I was filming the title sequence, and it was I wanted some kind of ghost fairies in the Isadora Duncan style to be prancing through the garden. Kind of like a Pan character, but he was basically we just painted his body white, and that's what he took on. He took on that image.
So you did nothing
you
to the nose.
Nothing to the nose.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. No prosthetics. No makeup. No CGI. Nothing.
My God.
It's something crazy. And you can see right through him. That's what makes it really creepy.
Well,
see through him.
I was actually going to ask, because what it looks like to me about the see-through stuff, right, it doesn't look so much like you can see through him as much as maybe there was gauze or something invisible between the branches and him? Is it like if you took a piece of cheesecloth, right, and stretched it out,
right,
and then put your hand behind it, it would look kind of like you could see through your hand, but if depending on your perspective. So I was trying to determine with my eyes whether that was like a path that he's standing on and you can see through him, or is that something in front of, between him and the branches? And I couldn't tell.
He was just in that field. I don't know the technicalities, like what lens we're on, or if we had diffusion on the lens, but because it was so long ago and I had two cinematographers on this film, so I can't answer that question, the technical aspects of it.
Fascinating. You know, though, we're less than a minute now.
Here's what Alex, this is what I want to do, though.
Hours,
I know we could go on for
what
hours.
Do you want to do?
This is what I want to do, though. I want to bring you, not immediately, but I mean, it sounds like this is a work in progress for you also still.
Right.
And I want to kind of talk to you more about this, maybe as the weeks or months, whatever. We'll work something out. But I want to talk to you more about this, and maybe if you come across some other things, maybe we can get some answers out of this. I mean, I think all of us agree right now that we're kind of like going, we're all scratching our heads.
It takes a lot of power to do this kind of effect. You guys, and anybody out there listening,
hang on the line,
if you've
Alex.
Got any, yeah, hang on the line. Alex, thanks.
Okay, I'll hang on.
Anybody out there listening, if you have any ideas,
suggestions
or whatever, it's www.myspace.com/returntobabylon.
If you're too lazy to go there, just go email one of us. We can forward an email over to Alex if you want. Go ahead. Say that again, Alex. What was that?
Do you want me to send you more images?
If you want, feel free to send as many as you want. We'll put them up on the site for you.
Yeah. Because if anybody has any ideas, hopefully they'll email you or let us know. And we can
send as many movies as you like, and I'll put them up. I have the album for it set up, so we can just jump them in there for you. It's not a problem.
Yeah, because it's fascinating. Thanks, Alex. But do stay on the line.
Yeah, hang on the line. Don't move, Alex. Stay right here.
Thank you. Okay, yeah.
We have to go to break.
You guys, myspace.com/returntobabylon. If you have any ideas, it's just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, really interesting stuff.
Alex Montecanowati.
Food for thought.
Yes, and we'll be up next with...
Tim Wood from livesci-fi.tv.
I can't. I don't have all my programs up, so we're not going to go to break until... Now.
I hate you! We'll be back with Tim Wood from livesci-fi.tv.
For more info, visit ghostlytalk.com.